Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Shivali Sharma from International Crop Research Institute for the Semi-Arid Tropics, ICRIS at India. I take this opportunity to thank the organizers and chair for giving me this opportunity. In my presentation, I'll be talking about pre-breeding for genetic enhancement of cultivated peanut. Peanut, it is an important allotetraploid self-pollinated oilseed crop which has evolved from a single hybridization event between the two wild Arachis diploid species, Arachis duranensis, which is the A genome progenitor, and the Arachis ipensis, which is B genome progenitor, followed by spontaneous chromosome doubling leading to the development of cultivated peanut having tetraploid genome AABB. So this is an important oilseed crop, and 2/3 of peanut production, it is used for the extraction of vegetable oils, and remaining it is used in form of several edible products like peanut butter and roasted peanut, etc. And the seed horns of peanut, it provides an excellent source of quality fodder. So this is really an important crop which is cultivated in over 108 countries representing tropical, subtropical and warm temperate region of the world. And it is cultivated on over 25 million hectare area with a production of over 42 million metric tons and average productivity of 1.65 tons per hectare. Across these peanut growing regions, the average productivity, it varies from 305 to 5,600 kg per hectare, so which is a huge gap. So various studies have also shown that there lies a large yield gap between the realized yield at farmers' field and that of the potential yield. And in some of the major peanut producing countries and regions, this yield gap is more than 5 tons per hectare. And various biotic factors like diseases and insect pests, abiotic stresses like drought, salinity, soil nutrient availability, these are the major constraints which are responsible for this large yield gap. So this also shows that if we could manage these biotic and abiotic stresses, we would be able to increase the realized yield at farmers' field, and this will help us to minimize the yield gap. So most of these, actually the stress factors, they are region specific, of which the foliar diseases like rust, early leaf spot, late leaf spot, and then aflatoxin contamination by Aspergillus flavus and the drought, they are the priority constraints and they really affect the peanut production and productivity globally. At ICRISAT, our research, it is focused on addressing all these priority constraints through pre-breeding. However, in my presentation here, I will be discussing only about the rust and late leaf spot. These two diseases, they most of the time they occur together, and they can they can reduce the yield by 70 to 80%. Various breeding efforts have been made to manage these two diseases. However, the varieties having moderate level of resistance have been developed so far, and developing varieties with high level of resistance, it still continue to be a major challenge for the peanut researcher. And the major obstacle in this direction is due to the lack of high level of resistance available in the cultivated gene pool, so which necessitate the utilization of wild species. And there lies a considerable variability in the genus Arachis, which contain 80 species. They have been classified into 9 sections. And of these 9 sections, section Arachis, that is of great importance, as this is the section to which cultivated peanut belong, and this section contains 30 wild species. And based on the crossability relationship of these wild species with the cultivated peanut, they are broadly grouped into the 3 gene pool. Primary gene pool, which contains the cultivated types, and the section Arachis, which is of really importance to us, they are in the secondary gene pool, and the remaining 8 sections, they constitute the tertiary gene pool. This is the flow diagram which shows that the role of pre-breeding in bridging the gap between the diversity what we have conserved in the gene bank and that of utilized in the peanut breeding programs. When the variability for a particular trait is present in the primary gene pool, it is captured by the breeders and they are developing the cultivars using that variability. But as I said, for late leaf spot and rust, high level of resistance is not present in the primary gene pool. And we have evaluated the wild Arachis species, and especially in section Arachis, like secondary gene pool, we have identified the accessions where we have a high level of LLS and rust resistance. So in past also a few interspecific derivatives have been developed by using the wild arachis species, which have high level of resistance. But most of these introgression lice, they have the resistance coming from arachis cardinisi. So in our program, we are focusing on utilizing the wild arachis species other than the arachis cardinisi so that we can diversify the resistant sources. So following this approach, here we are utilizing the wild species where the variability is not in the usable form. So we are using them as a donor along with the peanut cultivars as a recipient. And we are hybridizing these two things together, and we are following the advanced backcross approach so that we can recover the genetic background of the cultivated ones wherein the trait of interest could be introgressed from the wild species. So that way we are developing the pre-breeding populations. We are evaluating those pre-breeding populations for the trait of interest, and we are identifying the introgression lines which have the trait of interest introgressed from the wild species and a good genetic background. So in that way, those lines, they are then shared with the breeding programs, and that way this pre-breeding program, it helps in enriching the variability in the working collection, and it will ensure the continuous supply of new and diverse variability into the breeding program, which will help to develop the new cultivars having a broad genetic base. So this is the overall view what we are doing in the pre-breeding thing. And using this approach, we have been successful in developing the introgression lines having high level of LLS and rust resistance. As I said, in section arachis, we have identified the useful donors. But all these wild species, these species are diploid, whereas our cultivated peanut is tetraploid. If you recall my first slide, I said this tetraploid has evolved from the two diploid species. So we are using the same approach. We are hybridizing these two different diploid species artificially, and after that we are giving them colchicine treatment, and we are synthesizing new source of tetraploid peanuts. This is one of the example wherein this B genome species was crossed with the A genome species, and the sterile F1 was given colchicine treatment, and that's how we recovered the fertile tetraploid new source of peanut, to which we say these are the synthetics. So following this approach, different wild arachis species, they were utilized, and a number of synthetics we have developed at ICRISAT. And here I would like to mention that when I'm saying Arachis geranensis and cardinisi, we have used the accession which were reported to have high level of resistance for LLS, rust, or for any other disease. So these are very trait-specific accession which were used for developing these synthetics. These are not at random. And using different intra as well as intergenomic combinations, we have developed a number of synthetics. However, in my presentation, I will be discussing the results of population, which have been derived only by using two synthetics. Here, I have used one autotetraploid, and another is the allotetraploid. And none of them have Arachis cardinisi as a common source, because we just wanted to diversify the source of resistance. Using those two synthetics and two peanut cultivars, we have developed two populations. So this is population one, which was developed by using ICGV9114, which is a promising cultivar in India, and another allotetraploid synthetic. And it has 437 introgression lines in BC2 F4 generation. And second population was derived from another, by using another popular peanut cultivar and the autotetraploid, and we have 598 introgression lines. So both these populations, they were preliminary screened under field condition into 2014 rainy season, and those promising introgression lines were identified, which were rescreened during 2015 and 16 rainy season to confirm the resistance. Not only that, we also wanted to evaluate those introgression lines for morphoagronomic traits, because most of the time what happens that when we are using the wild species, we usually end up with the lines which are not as promising as a breeder want to use them in the breeding program. So we just wanted to have something which should have a good agronomic background along with the trait of interest introgressed from the wild species. So to see those things, they were also evaluated for the yield related traits. So these are the results. Here you can see this photograph. So for evaluating them for late leaf spot and rust under field condition, infector row technique was used. So after every 5 rows of test entry, the most susceptible cultivar, it was used as an infector row. And in our case, we have used the TMV2, which is highly susceptible for LLS and rust. And the entire field was artificially inoculated, and the moisture to have the sprinkler system was used to have the high moisture content for the proper disease development. So after screening this, in this population, if you see in population 1, we identified 18 introgression lines which exhibited high level of LLS and rust resistance. And similarly in population 2, we identified 335. But it was a large number, and we wanted to have this introgression line in good agronomic background. So second level of screen was done for morpho-agronomic traits. So first screen was for the disease score, and after taking into consideration the growth habit and the pod and seed traits, we come up with 17 introgression lines. 6 lines out of these 18 lines were selected, and only 11 introgression lines from these 335 lines were selected for confirming the resistance. This slide shows the average score based on the screen in 2015 and 16. Here you can see out of these 6, this is the result from population 1. Out of 6 introgression lines, 4 lines exhibited resistance in both the seasons, whereas 2 lines they were found moderately resistant. And the resistance of these lines and agronomic performance was compared with GPBD4. GPBD4 is the only promising cultivar which is being used across the globe as a source of LLS and rust resistance. And in this cultivar, the resistance has been introgressed from Arachis cardinisi. So we wanted to have certain lines which are better than this GPBD4. So that's the reason it was compared with this particular cultivar. In second population also, we had 11 introgression lines, and all of the introgression lines, they were found resistance even after 2 more round of screening, and of which these 3 lines, they had the resistance better than the GPBD4. So it gave us some confidence that, you know, we were able to develop the introgression lines by using different wild species. And next step was to see their agronomic performance. So these lines, they were evaluated under rainy to 2015, rainy and 2015 to 16 post-rainy season for morpho-agronomic traits. So here you can see this is the these are the mean estimates for different traits for GPBD4 under rainy season. And here in this column, this is the performance of GPBD4 under post-rainy season. In both the season, you can see these are the range for different traits in our selected introgression lines. For all the traits, you can see most of our introgression lines, they behaved either at par with GPBD4, or some of them were even better than GPBD4. So I can show you, this is the summarized result, where you can see the 5 introgression lines, they were found to have significantly higher pod number than GPBD4 under rainy season, and 3 were found to have a higher pod number under post-rainy season. And similarly, we identified the introgression lines having higher, significantly higher pod yield, seed number, higher seed yield per plant, and the higher 100 seed weight. It is interesting to know that these 3 lines, which are in bold text, like number 7, 8, and 11, they were not only better for the morpho-agronomic trait, they also had the LLS and rust resistance better than the GPBD4. So this gives us an idea that, you know, these are really promising ones to be used in the groundnut in the pre-nut breeding program. We further genotype. Can I get 2 more minutes? Thank you. We further genotype these accessions using linked marker for LLS and rust resistance. So based on these markers, these were selected based on a population derived from TAC24 and GPBD4. Basically, we use 2 markers. These 2 markers, they are linked with the rust resistance, and this marker, it is linked with the LLS resistance. The results showed that only 2 lines here, the number 2 and 6, they had the allele different from the resistant parent GPBD4, whereas remaining lines, they had the allele similar to the GPBD4. In second population also, we found the similar allele that are found in GPBD4 in all our introgression lines. So even we don't know why it has happened, so but maybe this would be because of the reason that marker what we have used in genotyping these introgression lines, they are not the gene-based function markers. They are just the markers associated with the trait of interest, and they have been identified in the genetic study. So now we are planning to have a detailed genetic and sequence analysis following next generation sequencing approach so that we can have a more clarity on this aspect. Overall, you know, I can just conclude that wild relatives are really a reservoir of many important genes, especially for the resistance for diseases. And we have been able to exploit this variability. We have been able to introgress high level of resistance from different wild species into the cultivated background, which, and these promising introgression lines, they not only provide the alternate source of resistance for use in peanut breeding program, but they will also help to diversify the source of resistance to develop the new cultivars. However, this detailed genetic and sequence analysis is required to have the more clarity. Overall, they really provide an important source for further use in genetics, breeding, and genomic studies. I take this opportunity to thank all my colleagues. Dr. Rajiv Ashna is sitting here, who has provided his support for the genomic work. And last but not the least, I thank you all for your kind attention. Thank you so much, and I'll be happy to answer your questions. Thank you so much.